Hey, my name is Jason. I'm the producer of Relationship Radio. I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website solely dedicated to working on your pies. Introducing itstartswithattraction.com. You can listen to every episode, learn about the pies, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go to itstartswithattraction.com. It starts with attraction, one word, itstartswithattraction.com to get signed up today.
Today we have a very special guest on Relationship Radio. This is Dallas Jenkins. I'm sure you know that name. Perhaps you've seen The Chosen. If not, I strongly encourage you to do so. I can tell you this, I'm a faithful Christian, but that series has relit the fire in my belly to serve Jesus, not just to minister to people, but to have a relationship with Jesus. So Dallas, welcome. Thank you for allowing us this opportunity to speak with you.
Wow, what a beautiful intro. Thank you for sharing that. That means a lot.
Good, good. I'll notice you're also one of the writers, as well as the creator and the executive producer and director and all those other good things there. Let me ask you a question about relationships, if I may. You're doing this an amazing job developing the relationships among the disciples. In the writing of that and the directing of that, is there anything about relationships that you have had, that you've learned or relearned powerfully by looking at their relationships with each other?
Yeah, it's a great question. One of the first things we did when we started to conceive the series and plot out the episodes and the seasons was I actually wrote up on the whiteboard, you know, what are the operating principles of the show? And there were things like, you know, truth over melodrama. For example, a lot of Bible projects that you see, they may be truthful in terms of what happened, but they don't actually feel truthful in terms of human behavior. I don't see people act like that ever. And I don't believe the disciples or even Jesus did, walking around formal and stiff and quoting King James English. Another thing to your point was, you know, relationships over behavior, meaning we were going to focus on the relationships because that's what oftentimes is so compelling about television versus even movies. You know, a movie has 90 minutes and you see some of the Jesus movies that you've seen in the past, 90 minutes or so, and they're trying to cover the totality of his ministry, and you can't even, you don't relate to anybody. It's very presented. It's very formal, and you're just basically seeing a reenactment of scripture, which has its place, and it can be interesting, but I think that's all it is interesting. It's not truly, tends to not be emotionally connective, which some people think is a bad thing. Some people think, oh, we shouldn't be, we shouldn't be driven by our emotions. Especially when it comes to spirituality. And I go, well, Jesus talked about worship the Lord with your heart and soul and mind, and heart and soul very much have to do with emotion. So the reason that I'm saying this is because I think it speaks to the vitalness of saying, all right, what did Jesus enter into? Meaning when he came to earth and when he walked among us and when he started his ministry, there were big things like the Roman oppression and the Jewish need for a Messiah. That was a big thing. But there was also a big thing when it came to our own personal pain. He talked about the relationship with you and your parents. Now, he used hyperbole. He would say things, you need to hate your mother and father in order to follow me. Now, obviously, he didn't mean that literally. But his point, he talked a lot about relationships. He talked a lot about your friend, your brother. He even said at one point, my mother isn't my, and my brothers aren't my brothers. You are my brothers. Now, when you really unpack that, which I'm sure would be an entire podcast episode that you would spend time on, but for the purposes of this answer, when you unpack that, you go, okay, he really was about relationship. When he called disciples to him, he called them in according to their needs, their personalities, their psychological and spiritual needs. He had 12 people following. Well, he actually had more than that, but his core 12 apostles were with him all the time. That's the relationship between a rabbi and a student. So our decision early on to focus on that and to make that the heartbeat of the show, to spend time in Simon and Eden's, we named Simon Peter's wife, Eden, in the show, to spend time at home with them and to see a marriage portrayed, which we've never seen in a Bible project before. That not only didn't detract from the gospel stories, it actually makes the gospel stories come to life even more because you go, wow, I'm married too. And Jesus has something to say in my marriage, just like he did 2000 years ago. I have friends too, just like they did. Jesus has something to say about friendships. I'm a student too. I'm a teacher too. I struggle with vices like Mary Magdalene did. Jesus has something to say about that. That kind of portrayal, seeing Jesus through the eyes of people who were in relationship with each other and with Jesus, has in many ways been a key or mm-hmm. a code breaker for when you now go back to the Gospels, which people are saying they're doing more than ever. Go back to the Gospels and you go, okay, that story actually makes more sense now. And that's the whole goal of the show. And so I've heard people say, I'm sorry, this is a long answer to your question, but it was such a good question. I'm sorry. But so I've heard some people say things like, oh, the Bible has come to life for me. And I go, well, no. And this is something I heard from a pastor in California. The Bible's always been alive. We're coming to life even more from some of these depictions and portrayals by going, oh, now the Bible can be seen through the lens of it's just as much for me as it was for them. And that's, I think, a really important factor when it comes to the show.
I think it's outstanding. When I taught the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at a Bible university, I would try to get my students to picture them in the story. If you were there, what would you have thought? What would you have felt? And I think that you do a great job with that. It's really fascinating. I'm sure you've been asked a million times about putting Matthew on the spectrum. That's really an interesting choice. So what key about relationships, either that you learned or relearned as you've been doing this?
Yeah, so I think the choice to portray Matthew as being on the autism spectrum was probably the biggest single factor that we've heard from people in making the show human. I think what we hear more than anything else is, wow, these people feel so human. They feel so real. Now, you'd think that would be obvious anytime you're portraying human beings. But unfortunately, we've always seen, I think, the disciples as stained glass windows or statues that you can visit and observe in Italy. But when you bring them down you don't make them people. They already were people. But you portray them as actual human beings. Mm-hmm. You go, okay, they had some of the same issues that we do. And when we unpacked Matthew and we were doing, you know, what any writers do when they're making a show or movie is kind of a personality profile. We go, okay, what can we see from the Gospels? Because we always start with the Gospels, of course. And we go, all right, he was a numbers guy because he was a tax collector. He was a facts guy, F-A-C-T-S. He his first chapter of his book is a genealogy divided into three sections of 14 people apiece. He chose a profession that made him an outcast, made him outside of relationship. Jews would have hated him because he was a tax collector. Romans would have disrespected him because he was Jewish. Well, that's interesting. I have a lot of people in my family and some of the work I've done in the special needs community who are on the spectrum. This sounds like someone who could have been Asperger's. Now, do we know that he was? Of course not. Now, to your point about relationship, what does that mean? Well, it means he was someone who chose to not have relationship with most people. He would have been outcast by his family. He would have been outcast by his friends. So portraying Matthew in the first season as having no relationships, and then over the course of multiple episodes and seasons, starting to have more relationship, I think is not only instructive for people who are on the spectrum, not only instructive for people who know people on the spectrum, mm-hmm. but instructive for us, because we can sometimes make choices that cut off relationship or mm-hmm. strengthen our relationship. And I think when you look at not only Matthew, but the portrayal of Matthew with Jesus and the portrayal of how Jesus called his disciples to him, which I just mentioned, they were relationship based. And so that's been instructive for me to go, wow, Jesus was a God of the intimate, the personal. He rarely did miracles for a big group of people. And it was just a big magic trick to show off. It was specific to their need. And I think that's a tool for all of us to remember in relationships, whether it's a marriage or parent or friend, is if we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to meet people in their needs according to their needs more than our own. And that's the gospel, loving others more than you love yourself.
I have three episodes in season two left. I'm really looking forward to seeing how you're going to develop the relationship between Simon the Zealot and Matthew. I don't know what you've done because I haven't seen the last three episodes of the second season, But I'm really excited to see what you're going to do. So what message would you want to give people about relationships, first when it comes to Jesus, and then with other people, and third, in marriages?
Yeah, so you got to get caught up, because we do a little bit in season two, but Simon the Zealot and Matthew are really forced to look at each other in a new way in season three. So you still got some more episodes to go, but you'll see what we do there.
I look forward to that.
Yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, I think when it comes to relationships, Jesus was the model of understanding what others are needing and serving their needs. Now, we'll never reach the perfection of Jesus, and we're not God. So our job is not to walk around and solve everyone else's problems. But if you look at how Jesus solved problems, even, it wasn't, oh, you're oppressed by the Romans, I'm going to remove your oppression. Oh, you have a difficult relationship, I'm going to make that okay. You're struggling with a particular vice, I'm going to remove that for you. It wasn't about that. I don't think it should be about that for us. You've been a pastor. You're a counselor. You're a teacher. All of those things probably wrapped into one. I'm sure that you've learned over the years that if the first time you meet, you're assigned to help someone. If you come right out of the gate going, all right, here's the solution to your problem, it doesn't usually go very well. Right. We listen. We find out what their needs are. We meet them where they're at, just like Jesus did. That's one lesson I think we can all learn. Two, I really think you're going to love season three more than any of the other seasons. Oh. Because we really dig into marriage. Simon Peter and his wife Eden, their storyline is the featured storyline of the season. Because as you saw in season one, Eden does a beautiful job as a wife of hearing the news that Simon wants to give up his job and pursue ministry. And instead of being scared by it, instead of stressing that she really hopes he lives up to the expectations, instead of saying, I'm really concerned about our finances, she says, finally, you're the man that I married. You've come back to the man that I married, where you're focused on God more than job. And she's thrilled for him to be serving Jesus, the Messiah. Well, then there's the part where it actually is played out and Simon goes on a trip for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's not as easy when you're actually facing it practically. How does she react to that? How does he react to that? We address in season three what my wife and I call reentry, which I'm sure maybe you haven't used that term, but you've seen it in couples, probably experienced it in your own life. When a spouse leaves for a longer period of time than normal, or especially when they're doing ministry, and they come back into the home, why doesn't that ever go well? It's supposed to go awesome. The wife is supposed to be so excited to see her husband that she can't wait to hop into bed that night with him. And the husband is supposed to be so eager to serve her needs when he comes back, because she's been stuck with the kids, or she's been stuck not doing the exciting things he's been doing. He has every reason to be considerate and kind and compassionate, or the other way around. It's not always the husband who's been gone, of course. Why doesn't that seem to go well? It's because of expectations. They both have these unmet expectations, and they come home, and instead of a nap, which is what the husband really needs because he's been exhausted, she needs to be ready to perform and be Superman. And instead of getting right into bed because he's been missing that for a while, she's like, oh, before that happens, we need to connect with each other. So these unmet expectations seem to screw up reentry quite a bit. We explore that in a Jesus show, which isn't typically where you'd seen it explored.
So, that.
Yeah, it's those kinds of things that we really try to address. And of course, who do you turn to and who do you need to turn to? What model do you need to follow when you're struggling in that area? It's, of course, Jesus. And I think sometimes we need to come to Jesus honestly. And what you see in season three is Simon Peter, when he experiences not only a marital struggle, but they experience a crisis, a family crisis. And they wonder why Jesus didn't solve their crisis like he's solving other people's crisis. That also can cause relational stress. And we go right after it. So you got to get into season three, Dr. Bach.
I'm looking forward to that.
You're gonna have a lot to say to your viewers and listeners about that.
Yeah, well, you've already affected my marriage. When Peter said he was going to follow Jesus and Eden says to him, that's the man I married, my wife actually said under her breath, not to me, she said, I love that. Mm-hmm. And when she said that, I heard it and I thought, that's how she's thinking about me, that maybe I'm getting off my focus of following Jesus. Yeah. And so I've been pondering that ever since. So thank you. Thank you for making me miserable.
Well, that's great to hear. But yeah, some of that was based on my own experience. And, you know, I think that we husbands, especially when we're called to ministry, can get focused on the serving people, mm-hmm. doing right by our ministry. Mm-hmm. And it becomes horizontal as opposed to vertical. And any wife who, depending on your theology or what a marriage looks like and God's and the Bible's plan for marriage, any wife that I've met and of course my own wife is happy to follow, happy to submit to a husband who is submitted to and following God, regardless of where that leads. And as of course the Bible says, well, husbands, your responsibility is even greater. It's to love your wife as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for it. Mm-hmm. But when you're truly living that out, when you're truly sacrificing, when you're truly willing to surrender, a wife will typically be happy to follow you to the ends of the earth.
Very, very good insight. One last question, if I may. You're the son of a famous father. What about relationships with children? Have you relearned or reemphasized in putting this great series together?
Well, my dad has written books on parenting and marriage, and he's spoken about it. I've been able to experience that, read those books myself, seen him speak, but he also lived it out. He stressed family over career, which is odd to think about because he's one of the most successful authors ever, but he found a way to sacrifice other things than his family, and many times it was sleep. And so I've tried to model that as well. The demands of my job are beyond just 9 to 5. And so I just go, you know what, I'm going to, or once my kids go to bed or once my wife goes to bed, that's where I'm going to get some of my extra work done. I'm willing to sacrifice some sleep, and not sacrifice family time. So that's been huge for me, is just saying, no matter what, if I don't get the home right, God can find someone else, to do the chosen. He can't find someone else to be my Amanda's husband or my kid's father. At least I sure hope not. So that always comes first, and that was modeled by my father. Even in spite of the success that he had, the growth that he had, he never let it overwhelm his first responsibility as a husband and father.
Well, I'm glad that God chose you. Because what you've put together and what you're putting together is touching lives, including mine. And I've been a Christian. I'm 149 years old, so I've been around a long time.
You don't look a day over 60, so congratulations.
But I'm glad he chose you because of the creativity, the message you're doing. Thank you for that. And thank you for sharing some insight about relationships with our audience. I appreciate that so very much. I know you're a busy man. Thank you for taking time out to let us interview you and ask you these questions.
Well, thanks for having me on. And I really do consider this a partnership. The show is designed to help people know and love Jesus more. Well, what happens after that is discipleship. And that's when I hand the baton off to you. So thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much. May God bless you beyond measure.
Appreciate that.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Relationship Radio. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing and leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps the show. The Chosen Season 3 is now streaming. To watch it, you can head over to watch.thechosen.tv or watch it by downloading The Chosen app available on the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, Roku, Fire TV, and Apple TV. We'll see you in the next episode of Relationship Radio.